23 and verse 1, the Bible says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Amen. I appreciate you reading along with us. Let's go to the Lord in prayer this morning and ask God to be my helper as we try to preach.
Father, I love you, and I thank you again for the good day that you've given us here in church. Lord, I pray, Father, that you'd bless us, and Lord, through your word this morning, I pray that you'd forgive me every sin, Father, that you'd fill me with your Spirit. Help me to preach with liberty and boldness, Father, that you'd have me through today. Father, I pray that you'd speak to each and every one, Lord, that's in the service, Lord, in some way. Draw us closer to you. Help us and encourage us. Father, those that need encouragement, those that are down, Lord, I pray that you'd pick them up. Lord, those that, Father, that's been faithful and, Lord, filled with the joy of the Lord, increase their joy. And, Father, we'll thank you now for all that you do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Here in Psalms 23 this morning, I want to share with you just for a little while a little bit of personal testimony before I preach, amen. I don't want to get into all my past sins, amen. Let me start from the beginning. I don't know if the Lord had me to give my whole testimony. I don't think he would. This won't take too long. But I was raised in eastern Kentucky. I was born in February 5th, 1953 in southeastern Kentucky Baptist Hospital. I was born a Baptist, amen. And I've been a Baptist all my life, I guess you could say. But I wasn't saved, amen, just being born in a Baptist hospital and born in a family that had Baptist roots don't mean that I was a Baptist or even saved, amen. But I was raised on a farm in eastern Kentucky and grew up as a young man on the farm doing farm work. And I was rebellious. I was a rebellious teenager. I grew up in sin. My family wasn't saved, wasn't in church. And nobody in my family, my immediate family, was born again. I had some grandmas and grandpas that were saved. I had a grandma that got killed on the way home from church one Sunday morning. A drunk driver hit her and killed her. She was walking home from church. And I had a great-grandma. Her name was Margaret Murphy. She loved the Lord with all of her heart. And I used to go down to her house when I was a little old boy, and she would make me quote Psalms 23. I've told you this many times before, but I would go to her house. Every time I go to her house, I wanted her to cook me a pone of cornbread or make some popcorn balls or whatever. I had to quote Psalm 23 before I could do any of that. Amen. But she made me memorize Psalm 23, and I had to quote it to her every time I go down there. And this psalm stayed with me all through my life, all through my teenage years. But all through my teenage years, I was very rebellious. I was disobedient to my mom and dad, and some of that was a lot of it. I'd say 90% of it was my fault, not theirs, amen. But mom and daddy really didn't know how to raise me right and things like that. But I was very rebellious, and I said and did things that I'm now ashamed of. And so, with that in mind, I started smoking when I was 6 years old. And like I said, I won't get into all my sin, but I started smoking when I was 6 years old. I remember getting drunk the first time in my life when I was about 3 and a half, 4 years old, somewhere in there. I remember every time I'd find my uncles and aunts and mom or dad or anybody else leave a cigarette around, I'd be smoking. If they left a beer hanging around, I'd be drinking. And I grew up smoking, drinking, cussing, doing things that a lot of grown-up people are just starting to do when they're in their late teens, early 20s. But I was doing those from the time I was a little boy. And I'm just saying that I hung around with older people all the time. Hung around with men. I'd drive my uncles around when they was drunk. That's how I learned how to drive. They'd stick me behind the wheel, couldn't drive a lick, and head down some old country road somewhere, drive them around while they was drunk. And so I grew up in that lifestyle. I grew up as a drunkard, as a cusser, as a hell raiser, run with a bad crowd. When I got older, men that had been in prison, done a lot of things. I was a thief, I was a liar, I was all kinds of things that I'm ashamed of, not proud of at all. And I got sick, I got married, me and Mary got married in 1974. I met her in 1973 at the end of the year, and we fell in love with one another, and I courted her for a while and asked her to marry me, and we got married in May of 1974. And for a year and a half, I made her life a living hell. Come home all hours of the night and early in the morning. Sometimes didn't come home at all. I drank on the job. I drove a truck and drank while I was driving the truck. I'm talking about big truck, not tractor driving, but big trucks. I'd done a lot of bad things before the Lord saved me. I made her life miserable. I gambled money away that would go on groceries, go on things that we needed, drink up the money that I had, spend my whole paycheck sometimes. I got sick of that. I got sick of living like that. I got sick of the liquor. I got sick of the beer. I got sick of gambling. I got sick of the sinful life that I was living. I was miserable. The Bible says there's pleasure in sin for a season. And I tell you what, when that season's over, there's no pleasure in it.
Amen.
I've tried the sinful things of the world. I've had money and it didn't satisfy.
Yes, sir. I've
had women it didn't satisfy. I've had liquor it didn't satisfy. I never did try dope, amen. I wasn't that stupid, amen, I guess. I don't know. I'm not saying Robert's stupid. Brother Robert's on dope, so I wasn't Brother Robert. Amen. But I was stupid in other areas. I was dumb. What are you saying, preacher? I'm just saying that that junk wrecks your life. It destroys your life. I know there's some men in this building this morning could testify the same thing that I'm testifying.
Amen.
There's some men could stand in this building this morning and tell you how sin destroyed their life, how it burdened them down, how it wrecked their homes or whatever. Amen. And they caused some women to do the same this morning in this building. And I want to tell you, in December the 7th, 1975, I was under Holy Ghost conviction. Been under conviction for several months. People have been witnessing to me. I don't know why God was so merciful to me, but people witnessed to me and people prayed for me. Every time I'd go into a church house, the Holy Ghost would convict me. I couldn't go around the people of God without getting under Holy Ghost conviction. I believed in God all my life. I believed in God all my life. I believed in Jesus Christ all my life. I believed this Bible was the Word of God all my life. I believed all those things. But I had not trusted in Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. Had not done it. But December the 7th, 1975, under all the weight of that old ungodly life that I lived, under the weight of that sin, sick of the way that I was living, knowing that all the sinful things of the world could never satisfy me, I cried out to God for mercy, and He saved my soul. Saved me from the devil's hell. Amen. He lifted the burden of sin. He took the desire for it away. Amen. He put the desire of the Lord in my heart to live for Jesus Christ. And I love Him this morning with all my heart. Amen. if Jesus Christ never done one other thing for me, I'd have to say thank you, Lord, for what you've done. I'm serious about that. He's done so much for me. He changed me completely. Brother Reed, you've got a testimony like that, don't you?
Yes, sir, I do. I was addicted to marijuana for 30 years. And I tried to quit, and nothing, no matter what I tried. And I went to Jesus one night, and I picked up the Bible, put down the joint. For 4 years, I haven't been saved. And I look back, and I think what a fool I was, and I thank Jesus every day.
Amen. Praise the Lord, Brother Reed. God is so good. Amen to all that. Lord, merciful, long-suffering. Amen. Kind to each and every one of us. I've never regretted one day since I've been saved. Never regretted accepting Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. I've never wanted to go back to the life that I was living before I got saved. Never. Not 1 hour, not one moment have I ever wanted to go back and be what I used to be.
Amen.
Never will. By the grace of God, I never do. I burn a lot of bridges behind me. I don't want to go back recrossing. Amen. I just want to let you know this morning that I love Jesus Christ. Hadn't always been everything that He wanted me to be, but I'll never be what I used to be. Amen. And I thank Him for saving my soul. I want to preach this morning, Lord, help me. On my shepherd, amen, and talk to you just a little while about him, amen. First of all, I'd like to say that Jesus is my personal shepherd. I'm a sheep. I don't know about you. I'm not a goat. I'm not a dog. I'm not a hog. I'm a sheep, amen. I'm one of his sheep. David said here in this portion of Scripture in verse 1, he said, "The Lord is my shepherd." And so he's my personal shepherd this morning. He made a great sacrifice for my sins. He laid down his life for me. The Bible says in John 10, verse 11, Jesus said, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep." He laid down his life to pay the sin debt that I'd made. Amen. Every wicked thing that I'd ever done, everything that I'd said, everything that I'd thought, the Lord Jesus Christ had to suffer on the cross of Calvary because of it. Amen. He made a sacrifice to God on my behalf to pay my sin debt. Lord Jesus said in John 10, 14, "I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and have known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. Other sheep I have, which are not of this fold. Them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father." I want you to know that He laid His life down for you and your sins. Everything that you've ever done wrong, ever thought about doing wrong, amen. Every sin of commission or omission, amen. Everything that you've done wrong, Jesus Christ had to give His life in order for you to be saved, amen. And so He made that great sacrifice. He shed His precious blood to wash your sins away and redeem you from the devil's hell. In Hebrews 13, verse 20 says, "Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus Christ, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant." Amen. He made a covenant between Him and God on your behalf. Amen. And He sealed it with His blood. And when you accept Him as your Lord and Savior, it's sealed in His blood. And God accepts you in the beloved. Amen. You're not accepted with God the Father any other way except through the blood of Jesus Christ, through the sacrifice that He made on your behalf. 1 Peter 2:25 says, "For ye were sheep going astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your souls." Amen. I tell you, I was going astray. I was headed for a devil's hell. I was headed down the broad road, just like 90% of the world today. Amen. They're heading down the freeway of sin. Amen. On their way to hell, they're going to plunge off into hell, lake of fire one of these days and burn forever and ever. I said, turn around and turn up the broad, the straight and narrow way. way which is Jesus Christ, amen, they can be saved and delivered from that destruction. Jesus Christ is my personal shepherd. He sought me when I was lost, amen. Let's turn over to Ezekiel chapter 34. In Ezekiel chapter 34 this morning, I want to read what Brother Ezekiel said here in chapter 34, beginning in verse 11. The Bible says here, "For thus saith the Lord God, behold, I, even I, will both search my sheep and seek them out, as a shepherd seeketh out his flock in the day that he is among his sheep that are scattered. So will I seek out my sheep and will deliver them out of all places where they've been scattered in a cloudy and dark day. And I'll bring them out from the people and gather them from the countries and will bring them to their own land and feed them upon the mountains of Israel by the rivers and in all the inhabited places of the country." Of course, he's speaking of the children of Israel here. He's going to bring them out of different countries, bring them back in their own land, amen, and save that nation one day. But I tell you what, just as Israel was the sheep of God, we are the sheep of the Lord Jesus Christ, amen. And he searches for the sheep, but he finds the sheep, and he brings the sheep home, amen. In Luke chapter 15 and verse 4, I want you to notice what the Lord says here in this portion of Scripture. He said, "And what man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it?" Amen. He's not going to try to find somebody that's not lost. He's trying to find those sheep that are lost. Amen. And why? Because he's the good shepherd. He said, "When he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth, more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance." Who's he seeking? He's seeking the lost. He's seeking sinners, amen. They're his sheep that have gone astray, and the Lord has to seek that which is lost, amen. And what are you saying, preacher? I'm just saying, when I was lost in my sin, my personal shepherd came looking for me. He came knocking on my heart's door, amen. He knew my address. He knew where I was at. He knew what I was doing. And he knew where to find me. And he found me. I didn't find him. He found me. I was running from him, amen. But he was running after me. And he healed me up. He found me December the 7th, 1975. And when I trusted him as my Lord and Savior, amen, he saved my wretched soul and I became one of his sheep. I became the sheep of his flock, of his pasture, amen. John 10:9 says, Jesus said, "I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, shall go in and out and find pasture." He's the door into the family of God. He's the door into the flock, amen. Revelation 3:20, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him, what's up with him, and he with me." And of course, he's speaking to the church there in Laodicean church. He's outside the door, but he has to knock on the door of your heart, amen. He has to find you, he has to seek you, and find you if you're going to get saved. Amen. People just don't get saved on their own.
Amen.
The Lord Jesus has to do the seeking and the saving.
Amen.
And he became my personal Savior when I accepted him. When he called my name, amen, he called the sheep that was lost. And so, not only is my personal shepherd this morning, but David said, here, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." He's a providing shepherd. Amen. He not only personally sacrificed for me and shed his blood for me and came seeking me and found me and saved me by his grace, but now he's taking care of me. Amen. He watches over me. He supplies my needs. He feeds me and he puts clothes on my back and a roof over my head. Amen. And he forgives me when I sin and asks his forgiveness, and he restores me and he helps me, and I'm getting ahead of myself. But David said, "I shall not want." Philippians 4:19 said, "But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus." What can to need you have this morning? If you belong to him and you have a need, he's able to provide for that need.
Amen.
Amen. It may be a financial need. He's able to do that. It may be a spiritual need. He's able to do that.
Amen.
It may be a mental need. He's even able to do that. Amen. The Bible says that God will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed upon the Lord. But there is no peace, saith my God, unto the wicked. Amen. I set your affections upon the Lord. Amen. And on the things of God. Amen. God will keep you in perfect peace. What kind of need do you have this morning? It don't matter what the child of God needs. If we're saved and living for Him, God is able to supply our need.
Amen.
And so David said, I shall not want. You know, those that walk uprightly shall not want any good thing, the Bible says.
Amen.
He's able to give us the desires of our heart. See people, see our loved ones saved, see things happen in the church. Brother Kellogg talked about when this church prayed, we see things happen. Why? Because we pray together and we ask God to do things, and God does things for us.
Amen.
David said, I shall not want. Not only we see he provides those kinds of needs, but he shows me his will. David said, he maketh me to lie down in green pastures. That's rest for the children of God. Thank God he takes us out to a big pasture field where there's some green grass. Amen. And we don't have to fear. We don't have to be afraid. We don't have to run away. Amen. Why? Because we got a good shepherd that's watching over us at all times. He makes us to lie down in those green pastures. Amen. There's a rest for the people of God. And it's not only a place of rest in the will of God, but a place of learning to live by faith. What do sheep do when they lay down in green grass and just eat all they want? Amen. They start growing. Amen. Their wool gets pretty and fluffy and they get fat in their flesh. Fat belongs to the Lord. Amen. But anyhow, you flourish in the things of God. When you're with the good shepherd and the good shepherd is with you and you're listening to him and following him, amen, it's a place of rest. It's a place of learning. And it's a place of growth in knowledge and understanding. And David said, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. Moving water, running water in the scripture is typical of the movement of the Spirit of God. They say still waters represents the Word of God. And of course, sheep cannot, they say that sheep can't be led down to swift water, they'll drown. You got to take them to still waters where there's not a lot of commotion, a lot of things going on. They got to get into that deep water, that still water, where the wind's not blowing too bad and the waves are not lashing, you know. But David said, he leadeth me beside the still waters. Ephesians 5:25 says, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the water by the word, that he might present himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that they should be holy and without blemish. You got to take them sheep down the water every now and then and clean them up. You got to get all the mud and the muck and the mire and the dung and everything else off of them, amen, and clean them up. Got to get the parasites off of them, out of their ears, out of their eyes, and all that, you know, and give them medicine and all kinds of things to take care of sheep. But he cleanses me with his word. And then verse 3 says, he restoreth my soul, he forgives me my wrongs. Now, God won't forgive anybody that's not seriously wanting forgiveness.
Amen.
You can't mock God. You can't play with God. Amen. God knows the thoughts and intents of your heart and my heart. If I come to the Lord and say, Lord, I want forgiveness and I don't really mean it, you think He's going to forgive me? Don't think so. Because God knows whether I'm serious or not.
Amen.
Now, you may ask me to forgive you, and I may ask you to forgive me. I may not be serious, you may not be serious, and we may not know the difference. But God knows the difference.
Amen.
Amen. And the Bible teaches me here in this portion of Scripture, David said, he restoreth my soul. When Jesus saved me, he restored my soul to ownership. I've been bought with a price. I'm therefore now to glorify God in my body and in my spirit, which are God's. He restored me to sonship. Now are you the sons of God. It does not yet appear what we shall be. We know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And he's restored me to fellowship. I can now talk with my heavenly Father. I can now walk in the cool of the garden as Adam and Eve did, so to speak, with the Lord. But thank God, as a child of God, he restored my soul. There's times that I'm cast down in my soul because of the battle or because of my sins. And I have to go to the Lord and I ask the Lord to help me or forgive me or to pick me back up. And the Lord picks me back up. Psalms 37, I believe it is, David said, the righteous fall seven times, yet the Lord... How's that verse go? Anybody remember that? Talk about the Lord picking you back up. He restoreth my soul. His mercies are new every day. Amen. I'm glad that I've got a God that I can go to and tell him that I'm sorry and ask him to forgive me and ask him to have mercy upon me and go from the promise of his word there in 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sin, he is faithful and just, forgiveth and cleanseth from all unrighteousness. It's not based on what I feel about it. It's based on what he's promised. I just got to make sure that I'm really repenting and confessing. Amen. But David said, he restoreth my soul. And then, he leadeth me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. He leads me in the right way. God never leads us astray. God will never lead you down the wrong path. He leads us in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Now, what is pious or righteous? That's right living. That's doing right. That's living according to his word. That's walking in the light of his word. He leads by the light of his word. His word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. And he leads by his love. Paul said the love of Christ constraineth us. And then he leads as Lord. Amen. He is the Lord of my life. Amen. I follow him because he has the lordship of my life. Amen. I cannot do what I please. Amen. I may try to do what I please, but it don't work. Amen. It just don't work. The old saying goes, he's either Lord of all or he's not Lord at all. Amen. And there's a lot of truth in that. But he's Lord whether you allow him to be Lord or not.
Amen.
Amen. He don't cease to be Lord just because you don't want to be Lord.
That's right.
Amen. Lordship means he has the authority over you whether you want him to have it or not. That's why I don't get drunk no more. That's one reason I don't get drunk, because I love him, for one thing. I don't get drunk because he changed my want to. I don't want to no more. But even if I wanted to and went out and got drunk again, Jesus Christ is Lord of my life. He is my great shepherd, and he will not permit me to continue to do that.
Amen.
Why? He may deal with me. He may convict me. My conscience may bother me. And he may be real easy with me to start with. But if I persist in doing that which dishonors him and displeases him, he's going to get more severe.
Amen.
The more stubborn I get, the more severe he's going to get. The more I rebel against him, the more chastisement is coming. Until I realize that I'm not Lord of my life, he is Lord of my life. He's not a mean God. He's not a mean shepherd. He's not a mean savior. Amen. He loves us.
Amen.
And he knows if we persist in our own will, it'll lead to destruction, heartache, heartbreak.
just what I, like when I was trying to live my own life as a sinner, lost sinner. All it brought was disappointment and discouragement and depression. I used to be depressed all the time before I got saved. He's talking about depression. I had deep depression. I would get depressed. You ever been there? Before you got saved? Some of you been there after you got saved. I've been there a few times after I got saved. But I've learned to cast my cares upon the Lord, and it's relieved me from a lot of that depression. I'm just saying, we get depressed, we get discouraged because we expect things to happen that don't happen. We're leaving God out of our life a lot of times.
Amen.
And out of our plans. But He leadeth me in the right way. He leads me in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. He'll lead me to church. He'll lead me to the prayer closet. He'll lead me to that Bible. If I do my neighbor wrong, he'll even open my neighbor's house to make it right. If I commit sin, he's leading me to the altar, amen. Get it right. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Not for my name's sake, for his name's sake. Why? Because he's very jealous of his name, amen. He's very protective of his name. And any man that names the name of Christ is to depart from iniquity. Any person that names the name of Jesus Christ should depart from iniquity, Paul says. Why? For his name's sake. If you're washed in the blood of Jesus Christ, your sin debt's paid. Why should we live right? To bring honor and glory to His name. Why should we live right so that others can know Him? Know that He makes a difference in people's lives. That He changes people. That He wants people to get saved. He wants people to go to heaven when they die. He don't want to go to hell. And the only way people's going to turn to Jesus Christ is if God's children, the Lord's children, lives for Him. And honors His name. So he leads me in the right way, leads in paths of righteousness. And so he's not only a personal shepherd and a providing shepherd, he's a present shepherd. David said, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me." Amen. The Lord is with you this morning, if you're saved. He is with you this morning. He's with you everywhere you go. Every part of your day. He's with you when you're asleep. He's with you when you're awake. Amen. He's with you when you're in the shower. Amen. Sing songs of praise to Him in the shower. Amen. He's with you everywhere. And Hebrews 13:5 says, "Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have. For you have said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." The Lord will never leave you. He's a shepherd that's got his eyes upon you at all times. He knows the path that you take. He knows everything that you do through your day. Not one thing escapes his eye. There's not one thing that you think in your heart that escapes his eye. His understanding. He knows what is in man. He has no need that any testify of man, for he knows what's in man. What are you saying, preacher? I'm just saying I have a present shepherd. He's present in the valley of discouragement. When I get discouraged, he's right there with me. Amen. When I have doubts, he's right there with me to give me encouragement and assurance. When I'm in the valley of despondency, he's right there with me. When I'm in that old valley of decision, you know, and I don't know which way to turn, and I don't know what to do, he's there to help me and give me instruction.
Amen.
Amen. When I'm in that old valley of darkness, amen, it don't seem like I can ever see the light of day again. Amen. He's right there with me.
Amen. Somewhere in the shadows you'll find Jesus. He's in the valley of the shadow of death, David said. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Amen. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15:55, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord, Paul said. Amen. Somebody said, in order to have a shadow, you've got to have a light. Amen. Where'd the light come from? You walk through that old dark valley of shadow of death. Amen. There has to be a light somewhere. Where's the light at? The sun shining. The S-O-N's are shining. He's right there with you. Isaiah 43:2 says, when thou passest through the waters, I'll be with thee, and through the rivers they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame come upon thee. It don't matter whether you go through the waters, through the flood, through the blood. It's all through the blood, amen. It don't matter which way you go and where you go, he's there with you. What you going through today? He's right going through it with you. He's a very present help in time of trouble. He said, call upon me in the day of trouble, and I'll deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me. You in trouble? Call upon the Lord. You in trouble spiritually? Call upon the Lord. You in trouble financially? Call upon the Lord. You in trouble any other way? Call on the Lord. Levi, when you fix and get a whooping, call on the Lord. Maybe mom, may the Lord make mom and daddy a little more lenient.
Yeah.
Amen. Matthew 28:19 says, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I command you, and lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. How long is he going to be with us? So we leave this old world, then we'll be with him. Amen. He's a personal shepherd. He's a providing shepherd. He's a present shepherd. He's a protecting shepherd. David said, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Isaiah 54:17 says, no weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper. Every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment thou shalt condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is of me, saith the Lord. My righteousness comes from him. There is therefore now no condemnation of them which are in Christ Jesus. Amen. Who shall condemn me? It's God that's justified. If God has justified me, who can condemn me? If the Lord be for me, who can be against me? Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. He protects us from the wolves and sheepfold. He protects us from the wicked one and protects us from the world. His rod protects from the attacks of the enemy, and his staff pulls us out of the snares and hazardous places, the traps that the devil's laid for us. Verse 5 says, thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. He prepares a table for us even in the presence of our enemies. The devil, the world, amen, all of our enemies could be surrounding us and attacking us, and God's able to prepare a table for us.
Amen.
Can God prepare a table in the wilderness? Dr. Sightly preached that great message. God can. Amen. God can. He can provide a table in the wilderness. He can protect you from all enemies that comes against you. When my enemy comes against me, I pray God deliver me. When the devil's attacking me, I pray for deliverance. When my flesh is attacking me, I pray for deliverance. When the world's attacking me, I pray for deliverance. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest the table for me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. We can feast in the presence of our enemies. We can have the peace of God, amen, in spiritual warfare. Jesus, the Lord Jesus, gives us power for service. The Bible says, He anointeth my head with oil, and my cup runneth over. That oil represents the Spirit of God, the anointing of God. They used to pour that oil on them sheep's heads and in their ears, you know, and put salve in their eyes and all that so they can see good and get all them parasites out of their ears so it don't bore up into their brain, drive them crazy, you know, all that. Aren't you glad He anoints our head with oil? Our cup runs over. He don't give us a half a cup. He gives us a whole full cup. Our cup runs over. He gives us the power for service. It's joy unspeakable and full of glory in serving Jesus and praying and praising and proclaiming the message of Jesus and His love. He's a protecting shepherd. And I'll close with this. And He's a permanent shepherd. David said, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. That's a promise.
Amen.
That David had faith, didn't he?
Amen.
He said, surely goodness and mercy. Somebody said, that's God's two sheepdogs. Goodness and mercy. Going to follow me all the days of my life. The Lord's leading. Sheepdogs behind, you know, they're keeping them sheep in line. Good, the goodness of God and the mercy of God keeps me in line, so to speak. Keeps me flocked up with the rest of the sheep. Goodness and mercy is going to follow me all the days of my life. The goodness of the Lord, the mercy of God, every day of my life is new every morning. For 32 years, the mercy and the goodness of God has been with me every day. Permanent grace. His grace is sufficient for every need. We have a permanent shepherd who's permanent in grace. We have a permanent place. David said, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Colossians 3:3 says, for ye are dead. You know you're dead. For ye are dead, and your life is hid in Christ. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with Him in glory. Okay, so you're dead, you're hid in Christ. When He appears, you're going to appear with Him. Now, I didn't have nothing to do with that. My salvation is by grace, through faith in Jesus Christ. I didn't earn it.
Amen.
Didn't pay for it. I surely didn't merit it. The only thing I merited was hell. I deserved to go to hell. I'd sinned against God terribly. I was born a sinner. I was born separated, away from God, under the wrath of God, under the condemnation of God. But God, for His great love, wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses and sins, hath quickened us together. For by grace are you saved. Amen. For by grace are you saved through faith. That's not yourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And so, we have permanent grace. We have a permanent place. I'll dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, and where I am, there you may be also. So when the Lord comes back, He's going to receive us unto Himself. He's taking us to a prepared place for prepared people.
Amen.
I've been prepared through grace.
Amen.
To go to that prepared place. Amen. That's eternal. John 10:27, Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them. Listen to the words of Jesus Christ. He said, my sheep hear my voice. and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, God gave him to us, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one.
Amen.
No person can pluck you out of God's hand. Them old free will Baptist brethren say, well, you can pluck yourself out of God's hand. I didn't put myself in his hand. Amen. He put me in his hand. He engraved us in his hand.
Amen.
His hand spanned the heavens. Big old hand. I can't jump from here across that altar there about killing myself this morning. You can't jump out of God's hand no more than you could jump into God's hand.
Amen.
He picked you up out of miry clay of sin, set you upon the solid rock, and established you going. Put a new song in your mouth, even praise unto your God. He's the one that picked you up. He's the one that found you. He's the one that saved you. He's the one that's keeping you saved. He's a permanent Savior. He's yours forever. And you're his forever. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Let's stand together for prayer this morning. I hope you know him in the free pardon of sin. He's willing. The Lord is good and ready to forgive and plenteous in mercy unto all them that call upon him. To them that call upon him in truth. We're going to sing page 401 in the Green Hymn Book this morning. If you need to come to the altar and pray, you need to do it this morning. God speaks to your heart. Let's go to the Lord. Father, we love you. Thank you again for saving us by your grace. Lord, please, I pray that you speak to every heart in this invitation. Lord, you know the spiritual needs of your people this morning. And Father, I hope that something's been said that's been a helper and encouragement in some way. Lord, if there's anybody unsaved, we pray that you'd save for Jesus' sake. If there's a child of God walking afar off, Lord, I pray that you'd work in their heart this morning, draw them back unto yourself. Lord, I'm glad that your mercy, Lord, is everlasting, and your truth endureth to all generations. Lord, I pray that you'd speak to each heart now in the invitation of Jesus' name. Amen. Page 401, let's sing a verse or two, and you listen to the Spirit of God as he speaks. Amen.